Let's start the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
Magic the Amateuring, my podcast.
My podcast.
It's not mine.
It's not mine either.
We are a podcast that talks about Magic the Gathering, and so if you are a person that likes to listen about Magic the Gathering, welcome. We chronicle the journey of two newish players into the deeper realms of the Magic Ocean. My name is Ben.
My name is Megan. We are recording in my house.
My name's Maria, and we're not, though. We're recording in Ben's house.
Wait, it's not my house?
No. You just live under his stairs and don't
Megan,
tell him.
No, Megan, you're such a mooch.
Oh, jeez. Then this is my podcast.
Megan and I have been learning, and we're still learning, and we're pretty deep in the Magic Ocean, I'd say.
I would say, as far as the Magic Ocean goes, we're approaching, like, I would say maybe around, like, average depth of the ocean in general, but we're nowhere near the depth of some of the trenches.
Right. I would say I'm getting close to the part, to the point when I have the bends.
Oh, that's only when you come back up. Oh, you'll get the bends when you try to quit magic too quickly.
Oh. You guys are making me hungry for some delicious marinara trench.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, God!
He's making a joke about the deepest part of the ocean.
Okay, marinara trench sounds like a vagina on its period.
Big time. That's big time. That's exactly what I thought he was saying.
Okay, thank you. High five. Everyone, that voice you hear over there is Dan. Guest host Dan.
Hi, I'm back.
My mind did not go there, and now I wish you hadn't brought it with you.
You're welcome.
Is that really what it's called, marinara?
No, it's
like the Marianas Trench.
Mariachi Trench?
Yeah.
Yes. There are notoriously a ton of sombreros down there.
Yeah, but it's hard for them to keep a trumpet player because they get out of tune
real quick
due to the massive pressure that crushes their bones.
Mm-hmm. And the tubas.
Yeah, all those mariachi tubas.
Do you think is the deepest part of the ocean where someone's ever played Magic the Gathering?
Oh. The top.
No, think about a submarine.
Yeah, you don't think those guys are playing
my
magic?
My answer is still the top.
Yeah, I think that's also true.
I think sea level.
I think the beach.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say that
so
I think...
I can tell you that's
true. There you go.
I think that guys in a sub have played magic for sure.
Okay, maybe there's like some naval officers
right
out there. Hey, if you're a member of this Navy and you're listening to this podcast, give us a shout out, please, because I'm actually really curious now.
Yeah, for sure.
I Googled it and I'm seeing lots of pictures of submarines.
Those are all toy
and
submarines.
Pictures of magic cards.
You need the intersection of the two.
Yeah,
that's what I'm not seeing.
Go to intersection.com.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I'm sure.
I wish.
Some kind of thing. We've got a great show for you today, you guys. Dan has done us the courtesy of bringing us a whole bunch of his old cards.
Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dan.
Cards. Listen to this sound.
I went back home and cleared out my closet.
That's the sound of Dan's card binder.
I'm sure your mom is grateful.
They were at my dad's house.
I'm sure your dad is grateful, and
awkward.
I'm sorry about the divorce.
Sorry, subject.
I'm sure your stepmom is grateful.
No, my dad never remarried.
Okay.
Ben,
I'm sure your stepdad.
Ben, you're still digging yourself into a Marianas Trench here.
Yeah.
We're going to look at some of his old cards. There's some really great, neat ones in here that neither Megan or I have ever seen in our entire lives. We're going to, we've got a For the Noobs segment, create a card. Just a whole bunch of really great stuff.
Nice.
Guys, I have an announcement. I have an announcement.
You're pregnant.
My neck really
is pregnant.
Very sore.
Oh,
why?
I don't really know why.
I know.
It may have been because I was out dancing last night.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Slam dancing?
What?
No.
Neck dancing.
No, more mirrored dancing.
That's right.
But anyway, I would just consider it a personal favor if you could rub my neck. Dan.
Sure, I'm doing it right now.
Okay, thank you.
For the noobs.
For the noobs.
This show is for new players and also old players, but
and by
also
new
players.
And also old players.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the hair club for men.
Yeah.
Mostly we're like, if we try to appeal to everybody, we'll have more to talk about.
But if we laser focus, then we'll resonate with those people, right?
Yeah, isn't podcasting really more about niche marketing?
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
More about trench marketing.
Yeah. I marketed my trench.
And intersection.com.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Trench bios.
Am I the only one that doesn't think of the vagina as a trench?
What do you think of it as, Ben?
I don't. I didn't until Maria said that, and now I do. But I didn't.
There's only two things I think of when I think of trench.
What?
Vaginas and World War I.
Hey, Ben, what geographical feature would you equate a vagina to?
I'd say it's more like a manhole.
Oh! That is not a geographical feature.
Oh, snap.
Anyway, on today's For the Noobs, we're talking about counters. Not counter spells, but counters.
What's a counter spell?
A counter spell is when you have, like, your kitchen counter is dirty and you spray some Clorox on it, gets real clean.
Or, and that's what we're not talking about.
Or correct. When you're a wizard and you're like, oh, this kitchen counter is so dirty. Wizard stuff.
But then you get in trouble because you make too many brooms.
Yeah.
And you take over.
Yeah.
And then your wizard master is really upset with you.
Yeah. Oh, or like C. Oh. U N T E
I get it. R. I finally got it. I got it right around E. I got it right around E.
Just in time.
Underwire.
Alright. So, counters are kind of neat little doodads.
Doodads, got it.
Doodads. You can use just about anything as a counter. I've seen little slips of paper, dice. Beads.
Other cards.
But what is a people? Counter? Let's start there.
All right.
A counter is a non-permanent object that can be placed on a permanent or a player.
You can on a player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can have a counter on me?
Especially
yeah.
In
don't move your head.
We're gonna put it right on top of your head.
But can't you use counters for token creatures?
No, those are tokens.
Okay. But you could use the same physical object. You could still use this.
Well,
a
yeah,
paper.
You could, but that would be confusing.
You know,
but it happens all the time.
It does happen all the time. People use dice as tokens to denote
and
tokens.
I'm like, come on, dude.
And counters.
Let's
do this.
Let's be professional
exactly.
About this.
Does your die with a number 2 on it mean that you have 1 2 power creature, or does it mean that you have 2 1 1 creatures? I don't know. Get your act together, stupid dice person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Megan played against a person who was made of dice.
He
dice
was
person.
Made of
he was
dice.
Made of dice.
He was
he tried,
made of dice.
But he was acting like he was a token.
And he rolled up in that joint and said, let's play.
But really what he was just a tool, everybody. A hammer the whole time.
These metaphors have become a stew.
All right. So what type of counters are there?
Well.
Let's start with...
What do you think the most common counter is?
A plus one, plus one.
Oh, what does that
do?
It gives your creature plus one power, plus one toughness.
So if I have a 2-2 creature...
He becomes a 3-3.
What if I have a 1-2 creature?
He becomes a 2-4. What did you say?
2-3.
A 1-2 creature.
2-3.
Okay, and if I had a 2-4?
He becomes a 3-5.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can put multiple plus one counters on a creature. So if your 2-2 had 2 plus one counters on him, he'd be a 4-4.
Ah.
Couldn't I just put a plus two counter on him?
Yes.
Wow. You could, but now everybody's confused.
You could, but I think there's only one card that makes plus two counters. Do you know what it is, Dan?
I do not.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's from your favorite set, Homelands.
Oh.
What?
Baron Sanger.
Oh, I've got Baron Sanger.
We'll get to him later. Yeah, we'll get to him later.
All right.
Maybe see if you guys can guess why he would get a plus two counter.
Oh.
What do you mean, why?
He just grants it.
Because he wants to. Because he's a baron.
No, wait. I do know of a card that gives plus two counters.
What?
That one from Modern Masters.
No, you're lying. Which one?
Hold on. The one, what is it called? Exponential growth?
Incremental growth.
Incremental growth.
Yeah, no, you're wrong.
Why?
That card gives one creature one plus one counter, one creature two plus one counters, and one creature three plus one counters. They do not do plus two counters anymore because they're like, wait a minute, this is fucking confusing.
Yeah.
So, plus one counters are the most common, and the second most common is minus one counters.
Yes.
And they are very careful to never mix these, so they'll never design a new set that has both of them.
Oh.
Modern Masters does have both. There are cards that can make each kind. There's cards with persist that will get minus one counters. And then there's also cards like Incremental Growth that will give plus one counters. And you just kind of have to deal with it. Because when they made Modern Masters, it was basically like, okay, you guys are adults.
You can handle this.
Yeah.
We're going to trust you with the keys to the automobile
I won't
store.
Drink, Dad. I won't drink.
You're paying a premium on those cards.
You can drink if you want. You're an adult.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to crash this store.
Nope. That sounds like a child move.
Oh.
Wow.
You want to be an adult? You got to act like an adult.
Can I still wear this diaper?
Child move.
Child move. That's
or old man.
Grandma wears the diaper.
Move.
Asking for permission.
Old
that's a child move.
Children.
I know that some sets have given away poison counters. Are those just negative one, negative
that's
one?
That's the kind of counter
ooh,
that a player can have is a poison counter. Poison counters are not just minus one counters.
Wait. Can I say this? Because I think I know this.
Okay.
Because I've sorted these tokens.
Okay, Megan.
So a creature that deals damage in the form that has infect is what it's called, right?
There are creatures that have infect.
And it deals damage to other creatures in the form of minus one counters. And it deals damage to a player in the form of poison counters. And if a player has 10 poison counters, then they lose.
Oh.
Yes.
But creatures can also just give poison counters and not have infect. Like a pit scorpion, I think. Which
yeah.
Have.
Yep. There are other ways to get poison counters as well. There are also some creatures that have wither.
Wither?
Yeah. Not like the preposition.
But what about without?
Like the verb.
Which is minus one, minus three.
Creatures with wither deal damage in the form of minus one counters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if a creature with wither blocks a creature with persist, you get them.
What about...
Because you put a minus one counter on them and then you kill them.
Oh, snap!
A creature with thither blocks a creature with wither.
That's a classic thither-wither move.
But he's got an enchantment of hither on it.
And did you guys know that as a state-based effect, the game will check to see if a permanent has both a minus one counter and a plus one counter, and if so, it'll remove both those counters.
Oh,
nice.
Well, that makes
sense.
Well
done.
It makes bookkeeping so much easier.
But it would only matter in Modern Masters where there are both plus one and minus
yeah, or,
one.
Yeah, or like it can matter in Standard or anytime you're mixing.
You're
mixing and matching those blacks.
Nice.
So then if you're in a situation where something has like a plus one counter.
Yeah.
You give it a minus one counter. You've both made it worse, but then also removed any sort of populate things that could affect it well.
That is correct.
Mm.
Nice.
Double whammy.
Aw,
yeah.
Snap.
Wait, what's populate?
Wait, are you talking about the set?
Is that where it
set...
gets things more things when it has things?
The set that... Yeah,
beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there was specifically a set, right, where there were cards that were like, if, like, double the number of counters on said creature. Or, like, add a counter to this creature. Or just take away a counter from a creature. Am I just imagining
I think all
this?
Of those things are on cards.
Sure. Isn't populate
okay,
if
I'm
it
not
has
being...
a counter, add a counter?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm paying.
The populate is an ability that says, choose any number of permanents and or players... Put an additional counter on those permanents and or players of a type that already exists.
Sure.
On that permanent or player. So if they have poison counters, you can give them more poison counters. If they don't have poison counters,
you can't
give them more poison counters. If they have minus one counters, you can give them another minus one counter.
It's like how you can't create life out of thin air.
No.
But if you have one person,
yeah,
they
can
create another person.
Star Trek 3 Search for Spock.
Like a worm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a worm.
Yeah. Inchworm.
Would you recreate, would you cut off your bottom half or your top half?
If I was like a
can
worm?
Can I not go left to right?
But then I would, there what would be two of me, right?
What would the difference be between cutting off my top half versus my bottom half?
I think it's where you're looking when you start cutting.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
It's about intention.
Oh my god. Or.
I would argue.
It depends where you think the personality lives.
Where do you think it lives,
Dan? If it's in the brain, then you are cutting off your bottom half because you will keep your brain.
You see, I would argue that...
If it lives in your knees...
Knees.
I would argue that if your hands, if your arms are part of your top half, then you can only cut off your bottom half.
Ah, okay.
Oh. That's true. But what if someone else is doing the cutting?
Or maybe if your legs are caught in a bear trap, then you have to cut off your top half just to get away.
It's true.
Or you're cutting off your bottom half so that you can get, so that your top half can escape.
Yeah. Or what if you're using a professional halving machine... And you just, you press the button with your toe.
Then you'd cut off your top half.
Ben, do you want to, by the way, you borrowed my professional halving machine a couple months ago. I kind of need it back.
What do you need it back for?
It's got a lot of whole things.
There's a lot of things that I have in one piece and I need them to be in two.
Yeah. Or if you're Abraham Lincoln and your hair is really sticky, then you might have to cut off your top hat.
Ah.
All right.
Get out.
Why is your hair sticky?
Or if you...
Oh, because you got assassinated.
Because of the blood that's caked.
No, I know. I was pointing out how morose what you just said was.
Sorry, so, let's go back to talking about cutting off half of your body.
Counters.
You're right.
There's many different kinds, and people use a lot of different things to denote plus one, minus one, minus one counters on things. Mm. Dice is obviously the most popular, but
wait, how does... So... Tell me how that works, because I've put dice on as counters, and people have been confused before, so let's break it down noob style.
All right.
Noob style.
Wow. That was awesome.
The most canonical way to put counters on a card would be if you just have, like, a glass bead or something that you can buy at any local gaming store.
So that's the old school way.
If there's three plus one counters, you just put three of these things on it. But, oh, whew. Who has time to carry around so many counters? I might need a potentially infinite number. Isn't there any way I could reduce that number by a factor of six?
Oh, well, hey, yes, Ben. There is. I have this thing for you to try out.
What?
It's called dice.
How does that work? I just put three dice on it?
No. See, the die has a side that says one. And a sign that says two, and a sign that says three, and
go
four,
on.
And five, and six. So instead of putting two counters, you would just put the die down with the two side facing upwards, denoting that that card has two counters on it.
Oh, and then it's like my opponent and I have entered into an agreement that we're going to pretend that that one die with a two on it is actually two dice with ones on them.
Yes, or counters of other types. Hey, Ben.
I'm a fan of mental shortcuts.
Me too. I've got something else for you to try.
What is it?
Coke.
Okay. You know what? I was watching coverage one time.
What?
I don't remember.
Wait a minute.
What?
What happens if I have to put seven counters on it?
Put then a six and a one.
Put a six and a one.
What? Maybe you should have an eight-sided die.
Could I put a three and a four?
Yes.
Sure.
Could I put a five and a two?
Yes, but everyone hates you.
Could I put a three and a five?
No.
Why not?
Because that's eight.
Oh. Could I put a two and a
all
two?
All right. Shut up.
Three?
Shut up.
Yes.
One time I was watching coverage
yeah.
and somebody went to put a die on their card to denote counters and the other player did not like that.
What?
What? Okay.
No, what was it?
What did they say?
I think you're making up this story.
I'm not.
It's a good story.
You know, in coverage, usually what they'll do is a player will put a die on his counter, and then someone from the coverage team will take it off and put a giant die.
A bigger one, yeah.
So they can see it from the overhead cameras that they use to cover, the big tournaments on twitch.tv/Magic the Gathering. Check it out if you want to see big fat counters.
It's fun. I remember.
I tune in mostly for the large dice.
Some guy had suspended a card.
I like large dice and I cannot lice.
You other brothers can't be nice.
When it's true.
Girl walks in with a real big dice in your face.
With an itty bitty card and a real big dice in your face. You get...
Flies.
Yahtzee.
Like Heidi.
Yahtzee.
Hey, creepiest thing to yell out when you orgasm? Yahtzee. Write it down.
Yahtzee? Alright, I'm on board.
It's a fun game.
Danny, you gonna give it a whirl?
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl.
This is what it was. Somebody had suspended a card off to the side. And
like on wires? Like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
No, Dan.
Suspend.
What does suspend
mean?
Since we're in the For the Noob segment, we have to explain what suspend is.
Yeah, it's another type of counter that can go on a card. And the way it works is that...
Well, suspend is an ability,
you're right,
technically.
Suspend is an ability, and you use counters to keep track of it.
What kind of counters?
Time counters.
Time counters.
Thank you.
And so, like, when this... You can pay a cheaper cost to
the suspend cost?
The suspend cost, which is cheaper than its hard casting
Usually,
that's true. And then it goes... it's exiled... with these time counters on it, and during your upkeep, you remove one time counter, and when you remove the last one, it enters the battlefield.
And it has haste.
And it has haste. That's right.
Yes.
If it came in from suspend.
Yes.
But not otherwise.
You got it, buddy.
Wow, that sounds easy enough.
When it's suspended, is it still
technically exiled.
In play? Oh, it's exiled.
It's in the exile zone.
It cannot be the target
of spells
or abilities.
You can touch it briefly with one finger, but that's all.
Okay. If you two finger it, you lose. Or you get a poison counter.
Write that
down.
Because
that's too close to tapping.
Gentlemen.
Okay.
It's too close to tapping it. And objects that exist outside the battlefield are neither tapped nor untapped.
Oh.
Oh. They're in a quantum state.
At a 45 degree
all taps.
Angle. Yep.
What I meant to say is he had suspended it, and the other player was angry that the time counter was on top of the card and he made it like live next to the card instead of on it because he saw that as a plus one counter or whatever. Anyway, he was just being really douchey.
Maybe because exile.
He had a system of mental shortcuts set up, and you know, I can't fault him for that because I love mental shortcuts.
No,
Ben,
when
what's your
system breaks down and starts owning you?
Good point.
Abandon it.
Good point.
There you go. Nice philosophy,
yeah.
Dan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was going to ask what your favorite mental shortcut is, Ben.
I think it would be the major system, which assigns syllables to digits, and then you can use that to memorize large numbers.
Do you do that?
What?
Oh,
can you give us an example?
Like X is equals 10?
No.
Like,
wait,
no, oh, is 5.
But that would be an example. But 10 is not a digit.
What number is this?
Oh, sure. No, I really want to hear an example. Can you say an example?
Okay, well, give me a large number.
Like, do you know pi? Do you know pi using the system?
I know pi not using the system.
Okay, well, shut up then. What's a large number?
1 million.
1 million.
Like, what's your phone number?
I'm not gonna. Okay. Hey, buddy.
This is how Ben gets it, you guys. Sneaky little trick.
Oh my god, is this how you pick up? So you pick up people. When you are, you don't go to bars.
Instead
guess,
of, hey, what's your
phone number? It's a pretty long trail. Hey, have you ever seen someone memorize a 10-digit number?
Using a system where syllables
you don't have to explain how it works. Like, let's save some mystery for the second date.
Oh, all right. God. 8-8-5-3-7-6-1-9-1-2-5.
All right, so 8, the consonant sounds for 8 are like P and V, and the consonant sounds for 5 are L, the consonant sounds for 3 are M.
Plum.
Yeah, so plum would be a word that would let me remember those 3 digits.
What?
And then I would take the rest of the digits, map those to the consonants, fill out a word or a phrase, based on those, and then that would be my word or phrase. Vowels don't count as anything, so I can use whatever vowels I want. And then also, like, I think, like, W and Y doesn't, that's not assigned anything, so I can use those for anything as well.
You could do amazing. Welsh words then, because those are vowels in Welsh. You're welcome.
Wow.
Wow.
You could also learn Hebrew, right? I think all those letters map to numbers. I learned that from Pi.
Yeah.
The
but,
movie, not the number.
But
not
you
the
need,
food.
You do need a little bit of flexibility, because otherwise you can't, like, always, like, sometimes just nonsense.
Right.
If you just take random letters, that's not any easier to remember than random numbers.
Yeah.
But because of the way the human brain works, if you can, it's much easier to remember a phrase or like an image that's associated with a phrase than.
That's insane.
Huh, neat.
All right. What kind of counters? We got a little off topic. What kind of counters have we not covered?
Are we done with
yet?
This yet?
Yeah, we did time
this
counters.
This is so long on counters.
Okay, should we just, like, fuck the rest of the counters? There's the ones, like, for the cards that make saprolings. You put counters on
fungus
them.
Counters?
Fungus counters.
My favorite
spore
kind of counter.
Spore counters?
Spore counters.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Spore
thank
counters,
you.
Which can go on a fungus.
Mm.
All right, done. We're done talking
about it.
That's
it. Spore,
let's move.
And that's it.
There's also charge counters.
Shut up.
Which sometimes
okay.
denote limited uses of an artifact.
Oh, yes,
so
quite
you
right.
you have to remove a charge.
Like a vivid land.
It. Like a vivid land,
nice.
Which is not an artifact, so that's a confusing example, but thank you. Or,
you're welcome.
Or, like, there were a lot of cards in Scars of Mirrodin that were artifacts that, you know, you could use it three times to draw three cards or something.
Gotcha. Nice.
History shit!
You guys, we haven't done a history shit in like forever, I think.
Well.
It's been a historically long time.
Eons have passed.
We're blocked up.
Ages.
You can read about the last time that we did history shit in a history textbook.
It was between the Cretaceous and the Jurassic eras, so just flip to that section.
Yep,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
The one that says between Cretaceous and Jurassic eras.
We talk about something old in magic that we might not know about. We go back in time, and today we've got a wonderful pair of binders from Dan of his old cards from back in the day.
Yay!
Yeah. I'd like to say, the binders are really cool. I probably bought these when I was 12 or 13.
Nice,
one
nice.
Is a,
they're amazingly
a blue
well kept.
Puffy binder that is obviously used for collecting baseball cards since it says something like baseball cards on the front.
Right.
Let me get it exact. Collector's baseball card album. And has a drawing of a dude swinging a bat.
This one, however, your other one, has a lovely drawing of a magic card.
Yeah. At home drawing with a colored pencil.
Beautiful.
Made by me.
I know
wow.
we've tweeted a picture of that before, so
okay.
listeners, follow
so
us on Twitter.
You can know that's
nice.
What that was.
At MTA cast.
I mean, this is lovely. The
yeah.
oval is a little eggish at the top. Otherwise, it's very
great
nice.
Job.
It's
Dan.
Probably a little late to be giving constructive feedback.
You're
on
right.
that illustration.
Let me go hop in the time machine.
I'm assuming,
back,
Dan,
guys.
You've completely revised your
Yeah, my ovals now
stuff.
Are really good.
Looking through these albums, the number one thing I see is just the art on these old cards is just so good and so bad and
oh.
just brilliant in so many ways.
You guys, I've fallen in love with the artwork on Jovan's Ferrets. Go look it up. Because also, one, it's amazing, and two, this card says, summon ferrets.
Man, that ferret's going to tap down my wall.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
sure,
it sure
is.
Will.
Let's see. Jovan's Ferrets, when it's attacking, it gets +0/+2. And at the end of combat, any creatures that blocked it, you can tap down and they don't untap next turn.
What the barf? Because
what?
There's ferrets in their pants?
Yep.
Yep. I can never appropriately defend myself when there are ferrets in my pants.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, these are great. I mean, here's kind of a famous one. Lanowar Elves, which is a 1/1 for one.
Lanowar Elves?
Lanowar.
How did you pronounce
Lanowar.
It?
Well, that's not how you pronounce it either way. It should be pronounced Lanowar.
I think it's Spanish. Yanowar.
That sounded right.
Yanowar.
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 It's an anagram
yeah.
for war on all.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
no
it
way.
Is.
It is. Look at that. War. On all.
Atheist is an anagram for eat shit.
good. Wow, what card is that from?
I mean, okay. Now what we're going to do is let's just find one and here that's, you know, something different, something interesting we haven't seen before.
I feel like this marsh viper is going to give me a poison counter.
Let's see.
It does look poisonous.
Yep, yep. Two poison counters. If marsh viper does damage to a player, he or she gets two poison counters.
Nice.
10 or more, lose the game.
Nice.
Wow. Right.
Do you guys know about cumulative upkeep?
Tell us about cumulative upkeep, Dan.
I guess first we should talk about upkeep. Upkeep is a cost you have to pay during your upkeep, or else the card is destroyed.
Like Echo.
It's like Echo, but not.
Okay.
So, for example, there's a card called Force of Nature, which costs 6 mana, and it is an 8/8 with trample. What? That's ridiculous. There must be a drawback. You're right, Megan. There is one.
What is it?
Well, Megan, I'm glad you asked. The drawback is you have to pay 4 green mana during your upkeep, or Force of Nature deals 8 damage to you.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
Force of Nature? Why you do that?
So that's an example of a traditionally classic upkeep cost. So
a cumulative upkeep would be, instead of the same upkeep every time, it increases by that much.
By 1, yeah.
By 1. So, for example, this card I'm looking at right now, Polar Kraken, which costs 3 fancy teardrops and 8. It is an awesome picture of a big worm eating ice, and then there's polar bears just like falling to their death.
Wow.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
You guys follow along online, look these cards up on. Yeah. What website would you recommend, Ben?
Personally, I recommend the website magiccards.info for all your magic cards need. Visit magiccards.info and type some shit in the box.
They're not a sponsor.
I recommend just Googling that shit.
I don't. Because Google will take you to Gatherer, and Gatherer is subferior to magiccards.info.
Well, if you're just going to look at a picture, just Google image. Just Google image it, man.
Personally, I feel more comfortable looking at the updated Oracle text.
I feel like looking at the updated Oracle text.
Okay, Polar Dragon.
You're banned.
Polar Dragon is 11/11 with trample. Pretty badass, right?
What?
Yeah, you're gonna tear some shit up.
I'd pay any cost for that.
It comes into play tapped. Are you still on board?
Well, okay. Certainly I'll win the turn after I cast this 11-mana spell.
What if I told you it had a cumulative upkeep of sacrifice a land?
What? But I only have 11 lands.
So how long will it take you to sacrifice all your land if you don't play any more land?
Let me use a series equation to solve for that. I think it's 5. I don't know.
That sounds about right.
Actually, it's probably...
1.
I think on the 5th turn, you probably won't be able to play it.
Right, so you only have 5 turns to deal 20 damage with an 11/11 trample creature.
Nice.
Tough.
Can you do
tough
it?
Tough one. How much does it cost to cast? 11?
11.
Okay,
total.
Not gonna happen.
And so that was cumulative, so like your first one, you would sack... 1 land,
yeah.
Your second
sack
turn after.
2 lands,
two.
And then you'd
three.
Sack 3 lands.
And then there's, 4.
There's a...
and then 5.
You wouldn't be able to hit your 5th turn.
There's a creature that says... I think it was in Cold Snap that they brought back Cumulative Upkeep. And there's a creature that says, as a Cumulative Upkeep, gain control of a land that an opponent controls.
So you steal all their land.
So you could just take their land, and then they wouldn't be able to do this.
Once they
run out of lands, then you have to give all their lands back.
Wow. The creepiest art I've seen in a long time is right here on Freya Lisa's charm.
What?
It's 3 children gathered around some kind of bauble. It's 2 green to cast, and it's got a couple of activated abilities. 2 green, it's an enchantment. When any opponent successfully casts a black spell, draw a card. Use this ability only once each time a black spell is cast. 2 green again to return the charm to its owner's hand. Wow.
You're getting creeped on?
Yeah.
So that Polar Kraken, you could never keep it beyond your 5th turn.
If you
cast it when you had 11 mana only, even if you're playing an additional land every turn, by your 6th turn, the lands that you're sacking are not equal to the lands that you have been able to play.
What if I have a card that brings all lands back from the graveyard to the battlefield?
Then you're going to be just fine, buddy.
Okay.
Well, you guys should look at the art on this one, Gaseous Form.
Oh my god.
What?
I remember...
Oh my... You... Listener, you need to look this up right now.
There is a lot going on in this picture. Yeah.
I remember this dude, Phil Foglio.
That's not a real name.
Is that the artist?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's got a real cartoony style. So there's like a goblin probably with...
He looks like he works at a carnival.
Yeah, he's got blue and white pinstripe pants, a huge, like, gemmed belt.
Nice belt buckle.
No one knows.
Like a red coat with a fancy red hat.
He's just going about his day.
Yeah.
Trying to unload something out of a crate or maybe open a dungeon door.
Yeah. But, surprise, he is terrified by a pretty sexy gas lady. Yeah. Who has a sword and a very friendly smile.
She appears to be wearing gas armor.
And she's, like, beckoning to him.
But she's got, like, her smile is not at all, like, lascivious. It's very, like, friendly. Like, hey, buddy.
But her friendly demeanor is belied by her incredibly uneven boobs.
They are really uneven.
Whoops. Well, when you're gas, can you really keep those things in line? I mean,
no.
They're floating everywhere.
Exactly.
You need, like, a lead bra just to weigh them down.
Yeah, this is also back in the day when they had quotes from literature instead
yes.
of baseball. So there's a Shakespeare quote on here.
Oh, would you?
Should I do a dramatic reading?
Please.
Yes.
And gives to Erin nothing, a local habitation and a name. William Shakespeare, A Midsummer's Night's Dream.
What a horrible quote to put on a card.
Of everything William Shakespeare wrote.
Yeah, so many options. Hey, you guys seen Much Ado?
No.
It's great.
Oh, sick. Check out the updated art from the Cloudy with a Chance of Lightning set. It's like a guy. This guy looks like he has a severe skin disease.
This art, though.
Or like his skin is turning into water vapor.
Yeah. I would say it's probably the latter, considering.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the context, yeah.
Yeah. But that is really...
All of these cards that I'm looking through here, I've noticed a trend. Tell me if this is true. That
all right.
Back in the day, their magic was a little bit more about strong enchantments and spells than it was about creatures.
Well, yeah, I think that's actually true. The creatures used to be worse, and the spells used to be much better. Because the reasoning was, well, spells are one-time effects... And creatures stay around forever, so if the creatures are too powerful, they're going to take over the game. But lately, they've been upping the power level on creatures more because they want the game to be more about playing creatures and attacking with them and so on.
Yeah. I just pulled out another one. This one is called Clockwork Steed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of adorable. It's adorable, guys. It also has a lot of text, so let's check it out. Cannot be blocked by artifact creatures.
Wow, I'd pay any amount of mana for that.
You pay four, and it's
you
a 0/3, by the way.
But, Maria.
But,
what?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
When Clockwork Steed comes into play, put 4+1+0 counters on it.
What?
What?
I'm going to have to cut my +1/+1 counters in half.
At the end of any combat in which Clockwork Steed attacked or blocked,
okay,
remove
I'm listening.
One of these counters.
Okay.
So you have to take them off, but... You can pay X colorless mana and tap Clockwork Steed and put +1/+0 counters on Clockwork Steed.
Yeah.
You may have no more than 4 of those counters on Clockwork Steed.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Anyways,
can see why they don't make cards like this anymore.
He's real cute. He looks like a kid's drawing of a pony and then...
It looks like if, like, I managed to confiscate a grandfather clock and turn it into...
A horse
shaped grandfather clock.
Oh, I really want a horse shaped grandfather clock.
Listener, if you have a horse shaped grandfather clock that will fit into one of those postal service priority mailboxes,
please
send it to Megan's address,
please,
which is 824 West North Douglas Street, Avenue Boulevard South.
Thank you, Ben.
Guys, I found Baron Sanger.
Oh,
you found
did.
Him.
Baron Sanger.
Ben was right. You do get a +2/+2 counter on him.
When would you... What? Okay, let's hear your guess.
Yeah. First, do you guys know about Sanger vampires?
You know.
Oh, Sanger Vampires. I remember playing with that card.
What does it do?
Yep.
Sanger Vampire is he's a 4/4 flyer, right? Yeah. And when a creature that is dealt damage by Sanger Vampire goes to the battlefield, he gets a +1/+1 counter.
Oh. Yeah.
Now this guy is a legend.
He's a legend, so he's better.
He's Baron Sanger. He's the leader.
Oh.
He's the King Vampire. So instead of plus
he's
one,
he's the Baron Vampire.
Okay. Well, in name there, is the Baron.
There is no king, so like.
Oh, okay.
To him, the vampires look for leadership.
Yeah. Gotcha. All
right. Right, so he gets a +2/+2 instead of a +1/+1. And yeah. He's also 5/5 instead of 4/4.
Yeah.
And you can also tap him to regenerate a vampire.
Another.
A target vampire.
Another target vampire.
He is not a vampire. He is a legend.
He is a legend. Summon legend.
He was a legend. Now he's a legendary vampire.
I feel like the card I Am Legend, based on the Will Smith movie, is also a legendary creature.
Sure. But not the one based on the book.
No. God,
very
no.
different
no.
adaptation.
No. No way. There's a card in here called Craw Giant, which has Rampage for 2.
What's Rampage,
Dan?
Rampage is whenever that creature is blocked by more than one creature.
Uh-huh.
It gains whatever 2 in this case. It gains that number of +2/+2 counters?
No.
Just gains it.
Until end of turn.
Until end of turn for each creature above one that blocks it.
Okay.
Complicated.
Let's do an example.
Sounds good.
He's a 6/4, and he has Rampage 2.
Yep.
So if I block him with one creature, he stays a 6/4.
Yep. Let's say I got a whole bunch of bears.
Okay.
Bears.
You've cast the spell Truck of Bears.
Yeah.
Truck of Bears. And you have 10 bears. You block them with 10 bears, thinking, you don't bother doing the math. You just say, 10 bears is bound to be enough.
Exactly.
So
10 bears is bound to be enough.
Sounds like flavor text.
Truck of Bears. Well, first you think, 2 bears, I can kill him, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, he has Rampage. He's going to get +something/+something.
Oh, I blocked with 1 bear, no big deal. I blocked with 2 bears, now he gets +2/+2. So he's 8/6. I still don't kill him. Okay, I'll block with all my bears.
Better use another bear.
Wait a minute. I'm blocking 6 and dealing 6, but now he's 10/8. Shucks.
What?
Let's block with 1 more bear.
Keep it coming.
Now he's 12/10.
10.
And you're only doing 8 damage. Aw, man.
Get another bear.
You need some more bears.
You need another bear.
Now he's 14/10, but you're doing 8 damage. Well, let's
Better
block with all 10 bears.
Bear.
Let's just skip to the chase. Block with all 10 bears.
Clearly,
certainly 10 bears can take down any sort of beast.
Using induction, clearly the right move is to block with
all bears.
All the bears.
Good thing I used the spell Bear It All on you beforehand to give you more bears.
I'll turn all your creatures into bears.
Do I have more than 10 now? I have 20 bears?
20 bears.
Sure, I block with 20 bears.
Yep.
So you block with 20
bears.
Surely
20 bears could kill a craw giant.
It gets +38/+38.
Which is 19 times 2.
Right.
Because he doesn't get the +2 for the first bear.
No, that would be ridiculous. So he's a 44/42.
And you're dealing
with trample.
Yep. But you're only doing 40 damage.
No.
Oh, you lost because you don't understand mechanics.
Well, no, because we're blocking with 20 bears.
Oh,
and
sure.
So even though he has trample, he still has to deal 40 points of damage to those bears.
Sure.
So that he just tramples over for 4.
Sure.
Which would be the same as blocking with 1 bear.
Yep.
But you did lose
a lot of
19
bears
for literally no reason.
So you
that's how Rampage works.
Chances are if you weren't going to lose that turn and you had just held on to your fucking bears,
you
could have dealt
him 20.
19 bears worth of damage next turn.
It's pretty hard to block 20 bears.
Yeah. So what's really good with a rampaging card, there's a green card in there somewhere called Lure, which is an enchantment that all creatures have to block target creature.
Wow, I'm learning so much about old school magic.
Yeah, that
by
was
looking at these.
Lure was like unbeatable, basically.
You get a deck with Lure, and then there's another enchantment called Venom. Which is almost like Death Touch, but yeah, not quite.
It gives enchanted creature kind of Death Touch.
But better, because they don't actually have to deal damage if a creature blocks or is blocked by. They are destroyed.
Nice!
Wow, the illustrations of Richard Thomas are quite lovely.
Thank you.
This one with all of the
Yeah, flames. These are kind
of
cool.
Wall of Fire.
Yeah, Wall of Fire and Wall of Heat.
Ooh, wall
very
of
pretty.
Heat. Also, have you noticed that none of the H's get capitalized?
It's like the Constitution when they wrote their S's as F's.
Or like a British accent where you don't pronounce the H. Erlun Minotaur.
I've got a Hasran Ogress. I was thinking back to being a 13-year-old and having mixed feelings about her.
Oh my god.
But she's got some huge boobs.
She does,
but her
she...
face is uggo.
She was the original Butterface, you guys.
This card... When you attack, you have to pay 2 or it deals 3 damage to you. I got this card in Momir Basic once, and I'm just like, please attack me so I can block with this creature and throw it away.
So you don't have to look at it anymore?
Don't look at it anymore.
Hey, man. Oh, God. I was going to say all cats are the same in the dark, but I don't know if I can get through this.
That cat has a warning label, and it's printed in Braille. My card of the week is Blue Elemental Blast.
You just flipped to something and picked
this
it.
This is a blast from the past.
All right, what do you got?
It costs 1 blue mana. It's an interrupt.
Oh, we didn't talk about those.
No.
And it says, counter target red spell or destroy target red permanent.
What's an interrupt?
An interrupt is like an instant. Except it resolves faster.
Than an instant?
Back in the day, there were 2 stacks that happened. Everything on the interrupt stack resolved first, and then the instant stack resolved. Is that right, Ben?
Probably not.
Well, okay. But interrupts could interrupt things.
My understanding of the rules really kind of took off right when interrupts were removed from the game.
Okay.
So I don't really know exactly how interrupts used to work, but there was like... There was, like, an interrupt window that you had to, like, go through. And, like, during that time, you could only use... You know, like, cast interrupts and use, like, mana abilities. And then, like, when that was done, you could still do instants. But an interrupt was, like, the only thing that could prevent something from happening. It was confuso.
Yikes.
So this card counters target red spell or destroys target red permanent. And it's sweet, because, like, if you have a red deck, I'm going to get you with this card, because it only costs 1 mana.
Sweet.
And it kills your shit. Basically, all your shit.
Nice.
My card of the week is Moldervine Cloak from Modern Masters.
Oh.
Yeah. This card gives +2/+2, or is it +3/+3? I should probably know what I'm talking about.
It's +3/+3.
This card... It gives
+3. Based on my memory.
Okay, Valley Girl Ben.
I use the Mage system to memorize the stats. So it's 2 threes.
Uh-huh.
So that's M.
Mom.
So I would say Mom. Or Moom.
Or Ma'am.
Ma'am.
Yeah, Moldovan
Cloak. Or Mime.
Shut up.
Or Mama.
Mame. Or Mame.
Yeah. All of these are fine.
Moldervine Cloak is +3/+3, and you can put it on a dude. And I think this card is better than I think it gets picked in Modern Masters draft.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm going to go that far and say that.
Yeah.
That's not all it does. You didn't say everything that it does.
What else does it do, Ben?
It has Dredge 2.
Yes.
So you can, if it goes to the graveyard, you can just draw it again. At the cost of your draw step and 2 cards from your library.
But it doesn't matter because it's great, and so, like, it's like it doesn't... You can't get rid of it because it just keeps coming back.
Yeah. But...
Ben doesn't love this card.
There's a lot of other things in Modern Masters that you can be doing, and a lot of them are more powerful than just giving a creature +3/+3.
I suppose.
You know what I mean?
I just think that it shouldn't be taken lightly.
Yeah, but say I have the Trapper.
Yeah.
The guy that taps,
tap it down.
Taps target creature. Oh, suddenly Moldervine Cloak's no good. Say I have the Rebel Aura that prevents target creature from attacking or blocking. Oh, that that aura is not looking so good now, is it, brown cow?
Racist.
My card of the week is Abrupt Decay. Which is a rare from Return to Ravnica for a green and a black. Destroy. It can't be countered.
By spells or abilities.
Destroy.
It can be countered by game rules.
Okay. Destroy target permanent with converted mana cost 3 or less.
Yep.
Can you explain a little bit more about by can't be countered by spells or abilities?
I can explain. Dan?
Yeah. What were we explaining?
We're going to explain when a card says it can't be countered by spells or abilities, do you know that there's still a way to counter that spell?
Well, I know there is a way, because otherwise you wouldn't be asking me the question.
Correct.
Ooh, so, talk it out.
So the way you do it is if you can make the target of the spell an illegal target before the spell resolves.
With an interrupt.
Possibly using an interrupt.
Okay.
Then the spell is countered. So if you destroy the target with Blue Elemental Blast, then it no longer has a target and it will be countered.
Yes. But does Hexproof counter that? Like, can this...
Yeah, if you give it Hexproof, assuming you didn't cast it on your own permanent.
Uh-huh.
Assuming it's an opponent, and that giving it Hexproof makes it an illegal target for that spell.
Gotcha.
Then that spell would be countered by the game rules.
Gotcha. All right.
Yikes.
I know.
Anyways,
I know.
It's a nice little card, because you can choose, you know... You can choose tokens. You can choose creatures. You can choose equipments or enchantments.
Yep.
Artifacts.
Sure.
Also, I pulled this in draft on Tuesday just because I didn't know. And I was like, yeah, that's good. It's in my colors. It's a good card, the little removal. And then online today it was like $9. And I was like, sweet.
Cool.
I didn't even know, man.
You didn't even know what you had right in front of your own face.
Dan, do you have a card of the week?
Sure. My card of the week is Karma.
That sounds like a real life thing.
It is. It's a white enchantment that costs 2 stars and 2. And during each player's upkeep, Karma deals 1 damage to that player for each swamp he or she controls.
Fucking swamp, or it's gonna bite you in the ass.
The art on this card looks like something that would happen in Maria's bedroom.
Oh,
let's see.
The art is there's a dude and he's on the ground and there are vines just destroying
him. There's like blood coming out of his wrist.
I didn't think it was. I guess it's a man. It looks kind of like a grandpa.
There's a lot of
grandpas.
Yeah,
are men too.
I stand by my statement. There's a lot of dirt everywhere.
So, if you're playing against someone who's black...
Do you think I live in a flower garden?
Did you say if you're playing against someone who's black?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then they have a lot of swamps.
Yeah, man.
Yep, you got it.
Create a card! good cards to create today for our set. We're creating
a
magic set.
I feel like we already created
set.
One. I feel like we did all
we
of
did
the work.
We did kind of.
I elaborated a little because I really enjoyed this. Truck of Bears.
I just have you hold on for a second?
Sure.
Truck of Bears.
Pause
button.
Listener, pause your podcast. We need to talk for a second.
Yeah.
I need to talk to the listener. Yeah.
Oh,
you guys pause.
Unpause. Oh, shit. It's too late.
They're
not going to know. We're going to have to send them a letter to tell them to unpause.
I don't know their address.
Listener, say your address.
Whisper it 3 times into your pillowcase and Maria will hear it.
Yeah, that's my magic. In our set that we've been creating over all of our 27 episodes of Magic the Amateuring, we've been creating cards. Well,
no,
that's not true.
Only since like 5 or 6.
We've done it in a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
We have several. We have several cards that have to do with bears in our set.
This could be
some neat little synergy we have with our other bear cards.
This is going to be
a linchpin. A linchpin of bears.
A linchpin of bears. So a truck of bears. Hear me out to the end. Let's see.
Okay.
Costs.
I am reserving judgment. I'm delaying my judgment is on a delayed trigger.
Ben, we know that your judgment is never on a delayed trigger. Truck of Bears costs 7 colorless and a green. Put 10. I'm gonna smack you.
Put
10 2/2 green bear tokens on the battlefield.
It
must be cast within 2 turns of the card Bear at All, either before or after.
Whoa. But but Bear at All wouldn't do any good then, because they're already all bears.
Am I done hearing
but
you out
have,
yet?
Shut up. But you have other creatures. You have other creatures, and it makes all the rest of your creatures also bears.
Okay, the idea behind Bear at All was to screw the other person by turning all their dudes into bears.
Doesn't turn all permanents into bears? Like
yes,
too?
Everything, all the lands. You're right.
All everything into bears. And I understand that you also already have a lot of bears, but it only costs 7 and a green for 10 2/2
That's
bears.
That's a frickin' deal.
Exactly. So it must be cast within 2 turns of Bear at All.
But it's not going to be any fun to have a card that you can't use unless you happen to have another card.
So well, just say, or else the bears are destroyed, because you don't know the future.
Yeah,
so
the bears all
it,
get destroyed.
And
you
then
still
you have
2
turns.
You have 2 turns. Or you just have 2 turns where you have 10 bears.
Okay, hold on.
And, what about this?
Hold on.
Yeah.
It says it cannot be cast.
It must be cast within two turns of Bear at All, either before or after.
So what I'm proposing is you say, if it's not cast within 2 turns, all bears are destroyed.
Yes. There you go. Nice.
What about if when after you
That's
cast
still,
it...
That's still too good, I think, for 8
every
mana.
Every upkeep, you have to take 8 damage after you cast this.
You want to put some upkeep on our cards?
You want
to retro?
Oh my God.
You want it to be Bears of Nature?
The flavor text is, of course, surely 10 bears will be enough.
Yeah, but you have to
Can
get it done.
Can we change the flavor text? Surely 10 bears and 2 turns will be enough.
Yeah. Because 8 damage every turn, you got to make sure those bears get through.
Yeah, and I want Phil Foglio to do the art.
Absolutely.
It's a cartoonish Dibs. Truck Dibs. Bursting at the seams.
with
like bear parts coming out of a window. There's like a bear paw.
Yes.
There's
like the bear driving the truck.
There's definitely a bear driving.
What is bear driving? Bear cannot drive.
There's like one bear
on top like
looking
Indiana
terrifying.
Jonesing
yeah.
it.
There's a bear like holding onto the end like a garbage man on a garbage
yep.
truck.
Yep.
Yes. Truck of
oh
bears.
Oh god, truck of bears.
There's one bear who's holding onto the wheel and like spinning.
Oh.
Yes. Nice.
Those goofy bears.
But be careful though, because there is a card we have called, what was it? That one, that guy that went into nature and he got killed by a bear?
Oh, Grizzly Man?
Grizzly Man, because we do have Grizzly Man.
Which is if you have more than one bear, destroy Grizzly Man, right?
Something like that.
That's awesome.
All
wait,
of the
so
bear-related synergy in this set is like punishes the player.
Yeah, so wait, are we going with if you don't cast Bear at All within 2 turns, destroy all bears, or deal 8 damage to you?
Oh, destroy
or
all
lose
bears?
The game.
Then it's also a counter to Bear at All? I like destroy all bears.
Destroy all bears. So it must be cast within 2 turns of Bear at All, either before or after, or else destroy
okay.
all bears. All right.
But what the set really needs now is a card that says counter target truck of bears.
counter target bear spell?
No, that's just called, that's a roadblock.
That's
roadblock.
Fork in the road. Fork in the road.
Oh,
no.
So,
what?
Okay.
Fork in the road is just a choice.
So this is a tribal
a
sorcery
barricade.
Truck.
It's called car accident.
And then, yeah, car accident counters target truck spell.
Car accident.
Truck spell.
Counter target trucks.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a truck
or
spell.
Or we can have a blue interrupt card that's just called Unbearable, and it's counter target bear spell.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Blue. Okay, so does it cost just one blue?
Yeah, one blue, because that's pretty specific.
I have an idea for another truck spell.
What?
Trench digger.
Okay.
Alright, well, thanks for listening to Magic the Amateur Ring.
Oh my goodness.
We are available on the internet at magicthamateuring.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at MTAcast.
You can check out our YouTube channel, Magic the Amateur Ring YouTubecast,
you guys.
Which Maria will now have to make
okay.
or edit
thanks
out.
A lot. Thanks
Find
a
them
lot.
On LinkedIn.
Yeah. Check out our collective resume.
On LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn.
Find us on Orkut.
What?
The now defunct social network.
Find us on MySpace.
Find us on Friendster.
Find us taking a nap on your couch, because we do that.
Find us living in your soul.
Look deep down. You'll know it when you see it.
Oh, also magicTheAmaturing.com.
Okay. That's the real one.
That's
a real one.
Yeah.
Give us a
magictheamaturing @gmail.com.
Yeah. That's true.
That's an email address.
Or magic.the.amaturing@gmail.com.
Great. You can put the dot in
Gmail
anywhere.
Gmail parses those out.
Yep.
Parses the night out.
Snap. All right.
So
leave us a review on iTunes.
And we'll make fun of your shit.
Yeah, we're available on mtgcast.com or on iTunes. You can subscribe either way.
Available to date?
Yes, we are. You guys, Magically Amateuring is looking for love.
All or nothing.
And we're not getting any younger. And we're not eating any dinners for free any younger.
Wow. If you want to ask our show out, if you want to ask our show out, follow us on Twitter @MTAcast.
Or write a 5-star review.
And we'll think about it. And we'll think about it.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Keep them lands tapped.
Keep them lands tapped.
Keep them lands tapped.
Tapping lands every day. Tapping lands every way.
Casting spells, tapping lands. Casting spells, tapping lands.
Can I untap my lands yet?
No, keep them tapped. Don't cast that spell, it's real bad.
Oh, whose step is it? Ooh. Whose turn is it?
Are you sure this is how you play this game?
Upkeep, bitch.